It's not a cartoon. It's anime.
Yeah.
Come on. Was that coughing in there?
Now, Vanimation, y'all was feeling that coronavirus power up?
I really didn't want to cough, but it happened.
It did?
Oh, no.
Brennan was out of the country, too, so I got it now.
Yeah, I don't even know what's real anymore.
I fucking got it, man. It's over.
Thus, we have Rob.
On the iPad. Rob was not playing that shit.
No.
He heard Brennan was out the country, and he was like, fuck you.
I'll see you in 3 weeks, Brennan, if that.
I'll see you in 3 weeks. I'm out of here.
I am hurt and offended. Sir.
You shouldn't be. You went out of the country. I went out of the state. You went out of the country.
It was not a thing when I left.
Coronavirus was a thing back then.
Rob, do you remember this? When I was leaving, was it like, oh, man, we got to shut down everything?
It wasn't pandemonium.
Not
yet.
In this country.
It wasn't even in Europe. Like, when I got there, listen, when I got there.
It's bad there, too. Look at what's going on in Italy.
All I got to say, as soon as I got there, after I got there, like, day two is when Italy started going wild.
Yeah.
So, March 8th is the day that Italy started going wild. The reason I remember that, that's my birthday.
Yeah.
And I was in Belgium when that news story hit.
Did you freak out at all?
No.
You didn't give a shit. You didn't freak out about.
I was in Belgium.
But you didn't freak out about not being able to get back into the country.
Not even a little bit.
Wow.
The worst case scenario, extended vacation in Europe. I got people all over. It'll be fun.
Oh, see. Okay, Brennan. Okay.
Hi, yeah. That's just like saying, like, oh, I was in Atlanta and got stuck. Then I go hang out with my friends in Atlanta.
All over.
I love how he's like, I wasn't worried about it with a disease that doesn't show symptoms for like 5 to 14 days in a continent with open borders.
Yo, I was freaking out, and I could have possibly got locked in, I guess, in Kentucky with my brother, which would have been cool, but I didn't want to be in Kentucky for the next 2 or 3 weeks.
I like Keenan's brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brennan and my brother are like damn near the same fucking person.
That's how we get along so well, right?
Yeah.
That's okay. Why Brennan and I that's why we already know how to deal with each other, because I've dealt with that for like the 34 years I've been alive.
Hey, you old.
And even my brother goes, I told him about Brennan, he goes, I think I like this guy, man. I got to meet him.
No, I think so, too. I think me and your brother would get along just fine.
I think you guys would. Ice isn't here because we only had Ice is out of town also. We only had one call-in feature. And
yo, Cam, can we switch to Rob? Can we just appreciate the beauty of this man right now? Look at I got to give a shout out to Cam and Tony Valentino for hooking up the Skype call in here. Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and give him the slow clap.
The slow clap.
For those of you just listening, when you guys watch, please subscribe to the YouTube.
Subscribe.
And watch this YouTube
check
video.
It out.
This is even funnier. But he put a slow clap emoji on there.
Yo, that was funny.
And that was hilarious.
That was very funny. Thank you, Rob.
You're laughing.
Not a laughing emoji. But hey, guys, we got some serious business going on today.
Well, first of all, let's get into what we do.
Oh, please.
We are... what we do is with the animation podcast, we review podcasts, we do one-off, we do debates, all types of stuff. And as Ice would say, I know I got some stuff in my mouth. Pause. And
are you really have like candy in your mouth right now?
I'm going to finish it off right now.
You started a podcast with candy.
I apologize.
And you're going to describe what we do with candy in your mouth. I got this, bro.
I just described. You going to do it again?
No, I'm going to say the idea of what we're doing today is one of the things we do a lot. And the idea is that you're going to watch the episodes of the anime before you listen to this podcast.
Well, let's give Isis just due.
No. No.
Why not?
You can do
just
it.
Just give it to him.
Look,
give
man,
it to him.
As Ice would say, let's cut to Ice. This is Ice with his hair.
This is the greatest... fucking anime podcast the whole time.
Oh, man, really stretched
that
out.
You really went for that.
Yeah, I know.
That's, I like. That's, I look. I like making fun of the ice and all that, but I'm gonna give that like a 3.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it funnier.
No.
I'm into it.
Yeah. Whatever.
So yeah.
So
I give it. I give it a thumbs up.
Oh wow, Rob.
And then,
I hate Rob.
We do this all.
So the idea here, is what we're doing is we have watched the first 5 episodes of our podcast of the show, the anime show, and what we're going to do now is give our review and thoughts of that.
Okay, let me say this real quick. Why are you talking so fucking slow? You speak faster than this. You're speaking very slow right now.
Because I'm explaining the whole concept of what we're doing.
That corona hitting you, making your brain slow. Man, let me know, bro. Shit. Because you talking about like, this is what we're doing.
Was it that slow to you,
podcast.
Rob?
I mean, it was very deliberate.
Thank you.
It was slower than your normal speech, I guess.
I changed my speed based upon what I'm talking about, sir.
Oh, God, he's doing it.
Yep, now I'm doing it. Because you asked for it. So, like I was saying, what we're watching is my pick this week.
This week is Brennan's pick.
My pick. So, this is not just my week. This is going to be my 5 weeks. Because we're watching the first season of Mobile Suit Gundam, Iron-Blooded Orphans.
Hey. How many episodes total?
I think it's 25 total for the season.
25. So, with us on this, man.
Yeah, rock with us. So right now, what your job, if you are listening or watching, is to have already seen the first 5 episodes.
Yeah, spoilers.
Brennan.
Episodes.
Brennan.
I was doing it for Keenan that time. That was for Keenan.
Okay.
So I already seen the first 5 episodes. And so what I'm going to talk about right now real quick is a little bit of research. I normally do research before we get started.
Yes,
and
sir.
It was funny. I actually realized while I was talking slower is because of the delay in my headphones. I took them off, and now I'm talking normal. Like, I wasn't actually doing that on purpose.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was just listening to myself. I was like, oh, how do I sound? Like, okay. And so what this is, it's actually, if you do or don't know, the Gundam franchise is a huge franchise in anime. It's normally a polarizing franchise. Either people are huge fans of it or they hate it. Keenan and I believe Ice hate it. Rob, do you have an opinion about it?
About what now?
The Gundam franchise in general.
I don't really have too much of an opinion. I only really experienced a couple episodes here and there on, like, you know, Toonami or whatever, and it always went over my head. I was like, suits look cool, but I have no idea what's happening.
Okay, so Rob has zero reference point for the most part, so he has no opinion. That's good. In general, I'm not going to lie. I'm not a big fan of Gundams. I've seen some Gundams before that really turned me off to Gundams. There's only been 2 Gundam shows that I've seen. I've probably seen like 5 or 6 of them. Mm. Only 2 of them that I liked. It's this one and Gundam 00.
So you finished this already?
Yeah, I've already seen it. Yeah.
Your picks are not fair, bro.
You did. We never made a rule about what you can and can't pick. I watched this years ago, and I was like, "Yo, like, I loved it." And I, this is for me. This is like me sharing like my favorite toy with my homies. Pause.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So like, this is me like sharing something with you guys that meant a lot to me at the time, and I hope that it means a lot to you guys.
When did you watch this for the first time?
I watched this in 2016, the first time.
Okay.
So 4 years ago. So it's been a long time. I remember I watched this when I was, 2016. That's when I watched it.
I think I saw that the show came out in 2015. I know you'll probably lay that out with the facts, but it's a pretty recent show.
Yeah, yeah. One of my boys put me on it, and he was just like, yo, like, you know, watch this kind of thing. And I was like, cool. So this is the 14th installment of the Gundam franchise. I think they're over 25 now.
14th? 25?
Yeah,
holy shit.
Yeah, it's interesting because all of them were made by the same studio, Sunrise. So this one obviously was made by Sunrise as well. And there's a lot of Gundams. A lot of Gundams.
Why?
But the thing is really interesting about Gundams is that the only thing you're going to find is like a common thread between all of them. Well, there's only 2 things is that you're going to have mobile suits, obviously, because they're all called Gundam, mobile suit Gundams. And there's always going to be the main protagonist is going to be a white Gundam. It's the white mobile suit Gundam. Like, that's the only thing that runs between all of
them. What's a white mobile suit Gundam? The white guy, you're saying?
No. Like, the actual mobile suit is the color white. Like, white and red
okay.
and blue. But, like, that's the only thing that runs between them. Like, typically the way it works is that they just take that mobile suit and you have to use it as the main protagonist, as the mobile suit, but then they can put whatever storyline they want behind it. So, like, it can be anything. So, like, this, like, sometimes they make it, like, sometimes, like, Gundam 00, Double Zero, at least, is what you're supposed to call it. That one actually was supposed to have taken place, like, a long time after another Gundam franchise. So, like, let's say one, it's kind of like if you look at it like Star Wars and saying, like, this one happened, like, when the prequels happened, and this one happened, like,
the same world.
No. Because what I'm saying is that the world is not.
Okay, that's
the same
what I was wondering.
World. Yeah, yeah. So the only thing that, and the thing is, I'm not an expert of Gundam, so like, please don't hold me to this. But my understanding from the Gundams I've seen is that out of the Gundams I've seen is that sometimes they're just a standalone series by themselves, and sometimes they're a part of a bigger world of Gundams that has something to do with each other. This one, I believe, is standalone. Now, the thing is, they do refer to a lot of different old things like Calamity Wars and all that kind of stuff. And I purposely didn't do the research into going and looking into the storyline plot and the backstory of all of that, because I don't remember everything that happened, and I don't want to, because I'm going to watch this again, and I'm going to not remember most of this as we're doing it, because that's what happens when I haven't seen something in 4 years. So I will say that from what I remember and what I understand from my non-extensive research on this particular point, this is a standalone Gundam franchise that doesn't directly have anything to do with other Gundam franchises.
Thank goodness.
All right, so that's that. Like I said, Sunrise Studios, they made a lot of other. They made a lot of stuff. They made there's such a long list that I couldn't even like try to like get them all. But I'm gonna get to, where did I write it? There it is. They also, the same people, Sunrise made Cowboy Bebop. We just did Cowboy Bebop. So they did that. They did Code Geass, Inuyasha. I hate Inuyasha. Gintama, and a lot of other. There's so many on that list that I was looking at that I had never even heard of. That I didn't even try. I was just like, I don't know what these are. Mm-hmm. Maybe some of our fans were. If you guys want to, obviously just look up Sunrise Studios. You'll see the list. It's impressive how long it is. They've been making stuff since like the 70s and 80s. Like these are like the OGs. Like these are the OG studio. They're actually owned by Bandai now. So it's
That's
exactly.
A big name.
So the director is Tatsuyuki Nagai. I think I was okay with that. You see that? Tatsuyuki.
That's not bad.
The guy?
Yeah.
All right. Are you looking at it too, Rob?
No, but it sounded pretty good. It sounded pretty fluid at least.
I'm gonna get brain.
He also did some directing on Gundam 00, which I didn't know. And like I said, the only other one I've liked of Gundams was that one. And he and the writer have worked together on two other shows as well that I'm not interested in seeing. One of them is called Toradora! And the other one is Anohana, the flower we saw that day. Never heard of either one of those. So if,
never judge a book by its cover, but I'm going to do that. Those sound trash.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm not really into. I'm not into the titles. Like the titles do nothing for me.
The titles sound ass.
They sound terrible. But at the same time, like again, don't judge a book by its cover. The writer is a woman named Mari Okada, and she is like super accomplished in the anime world. Like she is like huge. She's an acclaimed, accomplished writer. That's what she's really known for, her writing. And she actually won the 16th Animation Kobe Award. And if you don't know what that is, it's like one of the most prestigious awards you can get for animation, for anime. And they only give one out a year. And there's only been two writers ever to get it. And she's one of the two.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so her writing is really, like, really well known.
Good for her.
Normally directors get them. So, like, normally when you see a Kobe Award, it's like, I think out of the, let's call it 20 awards, two of them were for a writer, one of them was for a soundtrack, all the rest of them were for directors.
Makes sense, though. I see directors getting it the most.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So this show, like Rob was saying earlier, the show's original run was from October 4th, 2015 until March 27th, 2016. So it seems like I caught on right on the end. Like when I watched it, it was all the way out. So I probably saw it at the end of 2016, but I remember that's the year I saw it. And one thing, and like I said, not giving away too much, this show, the reason why I really liked this show is because it deals with a lot of real world problems such as war, slavery, poverty, child soldiers, politics, and corruption. And the catchphrase of the series is, the sustenance of life is on the battlefield. Obviously, this falls into, like, we did that other episode where we talked about the different types of anime, so this is a shonen anime. And, interestingly enough, this is the first anime that we're going to have reviewed that I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is the first anime that we've ever reviewed that the anime came out before the manga.
Yeah,
they made the manga off the anime.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah, and it's still ongoing, actually.
The manga is still going
on. Yeah, manga is still going on. It's still doing its thing.
Okay, cool.
And this one is actually widely available. If you guys haven't started watching now, then you can watch it easily on Netflix or Crunchyroll. Like, it's super available.
Or YouTube.
Oh, it's on Netflix, too.
It's on YouTube, too?
I mean, that's where I watched it, because I didn't know it was on Netflix. I was on a plane.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, or YouTube, apparently. So, yeah, man, that's my research. That's what it is.
Okay. Cool. Sounds good. Everything sounds good. Yep. Iron Blooded Orphans, let me tell you something. The title sounds fire. But once I heard a Gundam was attached, I was like, oh, fucking Brandon's going to put us through this hell.
I'm just saying, though, like.
But I feel like everything that Brandon has recommended, he's watched. So his picks are super safe in that sense.
I'm not here to pull an ice. I'm not going to do a Goblin Slayer, man. I'm not doing it.
Right.
Watching him struggle through that show, it inspired me never to be there.
Oh, my God. So Brandon's picking things that he knows is.
is not going to probably be trash. It, worst case, it'll probably be like, okay, that was cool.
And look, I'm not going to lie. I did partially pick this to get a W because I like to win. But it's not like this is a competition either. Like, what the reason
you take it as a competition, Brennan.
I take everything as a competition.
Exactly.
But honestly, thank you, Rob.
I was born at this time. When were you born? I'm 30 seconds older. Yes, I win. That's Brennan does not.
If that's the way that I was measuring things, I was born taking an L. Yeah. If you guys don't know, I have a twin brother who's 2 minutes older than me. And
he was pissed.
And I was supposed to be first born. My mom had to have an emergency C-section, so...
What do you mean supposed to be firstborn? Like you were? Did you have a ticket number when you came out?
Okay, twins.
What exactly, Rob?
So Rob wants the breakdown. Think about this anatomically, okay? Twins, right? Okay. When you're going to be coming out of the birthing canal, where are you, Rob? You're underneath the other twin because you're coming out of the bottom. You're coming out of the birthing canal. So I was already getting ready to come out of the birthing canal underneath my brother, and then they did a C-section and cut him out from on top of me. And so that's how he got to be firstborn.
Hilarious. Brandon has been petty since the day he was fucking born. That's
minute
what that just
one.
Shows me right there. That right there, that was the pettiest point that ever happened to him. He said, ever since that day, even though I wasn't even cognizant of what the fuck happened, once I was told the story, ingrained.
Nobody actually told me that story.
Remembered?
No, I put it together myself in the sense of like, I know my mom had a C-section. So I'm like, how does the C-section work? Oh, you cut open their stomach.
How you know y'all wasn't side by side?
Well, because the doc, like, for example, my mom told me that one of us was getting ready to be born. Like, she was in labor, getting ready to give birth. So you're not side by side in that.
Okay.
Your physical anatomy of a woman when she lays down, it doesn't work like that.
All right,
so when you
I
have
got
two
it.
Babies,
Asshole.
One of them's going to be sitting on top and one's underneath. But I just did the math, and I was just like, physics says, God damn it.
I love that you figured out a way that you got screwed over in your own birth.
In your own birth. Hilarious.
Oh, we could take it a step further. Would you like to know what the name Brennan means?
What? What does it mean?
Nobody knows.
So
my brother took my father's name. My father's name is Alonzo.
So you were supposed to be a junior also.
Yeah, so I didn't get my father's name. And I was like, Dad, Mom, who named me? And
brilliant!
If you guys want to see this story happen in real time, go to my Instagram, go to my highlights. I only got one.
Man.
It's called Family. And in there, you see the moment I asked the woman who named me, why she named me, what she did. I'll leave that to you guys figuring that out.
Please go watch that
highlight. But I will tell
you
right now, it hurt.
Please. And you just found out that day when she did the highlight?
I did it live. I recorded it. I was like, because my dad was like, my whole life, my mom and dad were like, yo, your aunt Riri named you. Your aunt Riri named you. And so I went to a family reunion. She was there. And I was like, bam. Hey, Aunt Riri. What's up, Brennan? Why did you name me Brennan? And it was on camera.
Let me tell you something. I haven't watched it yet. I think actually Tony told me about this.
He
but
did.
I haven't watched it yet. But I suggest that Rob has a laughing emoji on. I suggest
you've seen
every
it, right, Rob?
Single one of you
I may have.
Go watch this just to see Brennan's face. I want you to bask in his hurt. Like,
all right, we got a show to do. We got a show
bathe
to do.
In it. All right?
I know Ice is going to be the first one as soon as he listens
yes.
to this.
Yes, and he's going to say your elbows are ashy in there somehow.
Yeah, through his crusty lips.
Iron-Blooded Orphans, Mobile Suit Gundam, we're going to do the breakdown. Go ahead, Rob.
Rob, kick us off.
Sure. So there's a lot of exposition on this show, a lot of explaining that's got to be done that you got to kind of pick up as you go. I'm going to try to explain it as we go just to try to give a coherent, like, I'm not going to put the drops in when they reveal things like when they did, just to try to establish who the fuck is who. So this starts out with a flashback scene that kind of pops up throughout where we meet these two characters. Seems like they're going to be the main characters of the show. We've got Orga, this dude with like light purple hair. You see a lot of like, you know, millennial hipster girls rocking that same color these days. And you got Mikazuki, who just fired a gun at this dude and looks up at Orga and is just like, hey, what do we do next? And then we wake up with Orga, who's taking a nap. Now they're in this area on Mars, another show taking place on Mars for us. And this is in the Kreiss region. So what I was able to figure out and what I've seen in some of these synopses, Kreiss is like sort of like its own continent, its own region on Mars. You know, Mars is its own, like, it's basically living under Earth rule, but like people are on Mars are suffering. So there's these like little independent militias, and Orga and Mikazuki are working for one of those organizations called CGS, and they're this paramilitary group, and they hire on child soldiers to fill up their ranks. Fucking and they sick. Are some of those child soldiers.
Yeah. Sick me. Those are the iron-blooded orphans.
Yeah.
They are the iron-blooded orphans. Mixed in with them are a bunch of adults, which we soon meet because, as you know, Orga's waking up and they're chilling next to this giant mobile suit, which I didn't know until I read the synopsis. Apparently that's the power source of their base. But it is the Gundam, that we'll find out more about later.
I had no idea about that. Mm.
Yeah, right. Apparently that's the power source that comes up later when they talk about it as another part of exposition. But they basically Orga gets called into a meeting with the leadership of CGS. So that's where we meet the president of CGS, who's this dude named Maruba. Total piece of shit, it seems like. All we really know at this point is he's just like, hey, you guys, your job, we're going to be getting in this important asset, this woman. Her name is Kudelia, and she is the daughter of, like, this prime minister on Mars. She's got to get to Earth for this big conference. We have been hired to get her there. You guys are going to lead that off.
I and they're smell like, setup great. From the fucking beginning.
Yeah,
I
right.
I smell setup.
Yep.
I just knew it, but go ahead.
So they're just like, all right, cool. So that's our job. They get out of there with that. We can tell already these child soldiers are not being listened to. We get introduced to another guy in the scene that's pretty important throughout these five episodes. His name is Biscuit. Hilarious name, but seems like a good dude.
Yo, just for the record, Rob, I have a feeling you're going to like Biscuit.
I do like Biscuit so far. Yeah. So far, I'm liking Biscuit.
He seems like your type of character.
There's a funny scene that happens with Biscuit that made me laugh extremely loud. But go ahead.
So the other thing that's important to know about this Kudelia woman is that not only is she the daughter of an important person on Mars, she's also the face of the independent Mars movement. So as I was saying, Mars is kind of like a colony of Earth, and they're like not super happy about it. Some of the people that are living there, obviously there's a lot of poverty with these child soldiers, and Kudelia represents the face of the people that are trying to make Mars its own thing. So after that, we meet a few more of the other people around CGS, some more of the child soldiers. They're laying out some mines out on a battlefield, and they're kind of just watching the other child soldiers, like, in some training exercises. We see Mikazuki and some of the other guys out there, like, again, practicing. And Mikazuki is already, like, he's a beast.
He's a beast in this thing. He's ready the best.
Yeah, he's very clear. The other guy is pretty good, too, like the other buff guy.
Yeah. What's his name again? It's Akihiro, I think?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to pull up the character.
Yo, man. Why are they in these things with no shirts?
They're literally connected to their body.
Bro, as we move forward, they're not shirtless. So I was just like, yo, why are they up? Because I thought they were naked. I was like, they got to be ass naked in here? Oh, come on, man.
Bro, it's probably hot. They're doing training.
I was going to say, it's got to be hot as hell in that thing.
First of all, what exercises are these motherfuckers doing? They 13, 14 years old, and they're buff and shredded. I need to know their routine.
They're child soldiers. Their entire life is dedicated to being, like, weapons. That's all they do.
Bro, what is their workout? They got One Punch Man workout online. I need to know Iron Blood Orphans workout because these motherfuckers are shredded, and I need
I like
to get there.
I like how you brought in One Punch Man's workout. I love One Punch Man's workout. It's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. So, I mean, if maybe part of that is digging mines because that's what the other guys are doing. And, like, they're just like, oh, man, it'd be great to be out there with, you know, Akihiro and Mikazuki sometime. Like, you know, getting out there. And then basically one of the adults comes over and slaps one of them over the head. And it's just like, you know, get back to work. So this is a shitty situation for these kids. You know, this sucks. These adults are the worst. But from there, we go to, again, meet more people. We meet Eugene Well, we've already met Akihiro at that point, but we meet Eugene in the mess hall, and we kind of see that as Orga is giving them the job and telling them, hey, we're going to be protecting this woman, we find that Eugene is kind of the dissident voice. He's the one that's always kind of challenging Orga, at least so far, is always kind of like keeping him on his toes. He fights with him a lot, but Mikazuki shows up and is immediately just like puts a stop to that shit, grabs him by the ear, and is just like, dude, sit down, shut up. These are the orders. This we're going to do them. Yeah. So Mikazuki's helping Orga. He's his strong arm man. You know, he's basically keeping everybody in line.
He's his toy soldier.
Yeah.
That's what he is. He's a toy soldier. Put the rat battery in your back. I'm the reason why you move like that. You're a motherfucking toy soldier.
Yeah.
Is that Eminem?
Eminem's original song and 50 Cent did the remix. Okay. Sorry, go ahead, Rob.
So, no, all good. So the third group knows all about the job. Eugene is just like, hey, maybe this is our time to come up. And I think everybody else knows better than that. Meanwhile, Kudelia is getting ready to leave. Her mom is, you know, telling her, you know, hey, this is your mission. Your dad is behind you 100%, which Kudelia is already just like, huh, that's weird. Like, my dad's never supported me before, but guess I'll just, you know, take his help when I can get it, and takes off to go meet up with CGS. Meanwhile, her dad is meeting with some people at this organization called Gjallarhorn. Now, I think that's how it's spelled, or Gjallarhorn. That's how it's said. Gjallarhorn.
Yeah, whatever.
So these guys are basically the peacekeepers and they're the strong arm of Earth. So they're keeping Mars in line. They're like the police force. They seem to have a presence on Earth. And this Mars, the Mars office is meeting with Kudelia's dad. And her dad is basically just like, hey, so I told my daughter that, you know, she can meet up with CGS and go on her way to Earth. Like, maybe you guys can take her out or something like that. This dad is immediately selling out his daughter just to get himself some high standing with the government.
And we add on to shitty anime dads.
This is top of the list already, I feel like.
Bro, he has to be in the top 5 somewhere, top 10.
Oh, my God. It's bad. But Conrad's just the guy leading the meeting that works for Gjallarhorn. Conrad is just like, all right, get out of here. And it's immediately like, what a coward that dude is. Like, clearly he's just trying to sell out his daughter to just get himself some petty power. This guy's, you know, he has no respect for him at all.
Let me ask y'all a question.
Go ahead.
Would you guys sell out your child for a position of power?
No.
Brennan.
Would I sell out my child?
If it was like, yo, Brennan, you had the chance.
I can't believe you think this is a question.
I had to ask.
No.
If they were going to give you.
Would you?
I'm asking you a question first. Let me answer mine when it's time to answer mine. I'm setting up a scenario.
The answer is no.
They give you get to be the most powerful fucking studio in the whole world.
No.
You're not selling out your child. You're a good man, Brennan.
It's my child, dude.
Clearly people do it all the time.
What about you? You'd be the most famous comedian, most successful comedian in the world. You're going to sell out your child?
Absolutely not. I mean, me personally, it's not about fame to me and stuff like that, so I don't care. I want to make money in this, but I don't need to make $90 million a year off stand up.
The most consistently working comedian.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, I want to be working and making really good money, but like, I'm not going to sell out my child. But I see this happen a lot, whether it's in other TV shows or anime. It's like, they'll sell out their child for the smallest. They'll get their child killed, set up to be murdered. For what? Why?
I don't know.
Now, at this point, I ain't going to lie to you. Murder your parent.
I mean, in anime form.
I'm not saying actually do it. So don't use the tape against me. Keenan said, "Kill your parents." No. In an anime like this, if I'm anime Keenan and this happened, I'm fucking killing you now. You want to kill me? Okay. All the shit's out the window. That's how I feel. Like his, and we get to the daughter. She kind of starts to realize that.
Yeah, she does. She comes around eventually, but so Conrad gets the info that he's looking for, and he's trying to basically create an issue between Earth and Mars to, you know, basically get Gjallarhorn more power there. You know, if Mars becomes independent, this dude's out of a job. So he's taking this to basically add more strife to it and doing it behind the leadership's back. So he orders a bunch of his troops led by these three dudes, Crank, Orlis, and Ein, just like the dog in Cowboy Bebop.
Ein.
Sends them off to go take care of the CGS base. And meanwhile, while that's coming on, the Gjallarhorn inspectors from Earth are on their way to go check in with him. I guess just basically to make sure he's not fucking up, you know, just his quarterly like checkup. It's just kind of coming at a real bad time for Conrad because this is right in the middle of his like secret evil plot. And he seems to be doing all of this to try to get also some funding from a mysterious guy called Noblest Gordon who pops up in a couple different places in these episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We meet the two inspectors who are on their way. There's McGillis, who's sort of this, you know, upstanding, like, you know, golden boy type leader. And then you've got Galileo, who seems to be a little bit more, I don't know, free spirited. I don't know if that's the word I might use, but or Galileo, I guess is his name. He's a little bit more like, why the fuck are we doing this? Like, Mars is a waste of time. We shouldn't be going there. And Megillus is just like, hey, man, like, this is important. We should be extending our power. And if we can get Mars, the Mars people in shape, then that's good for us. But that night, you've got the child soldiers back at CGS getting ready for their mission. And they're getting their mobile workers ready, just getting ready to, you know, meet up with Cordelia when she gets there. And this is where we see that these guys have this system that's been basically implanted in their back. And it's called, I'm going to murder this pronunciation. It's a Alea Vijnana system. I don't know. They call
good
it
try. Good try.
But that system pretty much connects their what's it called? Their nervous system directly to the mobile workers or to the machines.
Like, yeah, and only a few of them was able to do it. What a few, because they did it like a few times, like Mika.
Yeah, that system is like pretty much the more times you get the surgery, the deeper the connection is.
Right.
It's extremely painful surgery, extremely deadly surgery. So it's like not a good thing to get, but if you get really good at it, then you can pretty much control these mobile suits like through your body.
Yeah.
So like these kids are being forced to have this really this horrible surgery.
Yeah.
So they could be better soldiers because these kids are all uneducated. How are they going to control these giant machines with guns and stuff like that? They can't read. Like, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
Like,
Mika's illiterate.
Yeah. Mika's illiterate. Can't read, but. Obviously, my man can fight.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I was like, all right, Fantasia.
He can sing.
He can sing, though.
But he can't read that music.
I mean, if what normally happens, the dude can't read, but he got them hands. And Mika's that dude. He's literally the epitome of a dude that can't read, but he'll fuck you up.
He will fuck you up.
Absolutely. But he's got a lot of fans, too, because we meet another character here, you know, out in another area of Mars out in the city. We meet this other girl named Atra. There's a huge demonstration, like riots going on in the streets. Meanwhile, Atra's just like working the local convenience store she works for. You know, this demonstration's all about Mars independence. And the owner of the store comes in and is just like, hey, like not too many customers today. And, you know, we just kind of meet her and we see that she's basically making this good luck charm for a friend of hers that we'll find out who that's for later. But it's Mikazuki. Yeah. So back at CGS base, Cordelia gets there and gets the introduction to, you know, the third group, the people that are going to be escorting her, including Orga and Mikazuki. And, you know, Eugene is immediately like, oh, you know, who is this girl? Like, so some of them are already crushing on her, but it's Mikazuki that gets the job to give her the tour of the facility. And she tries to be like, hey, you know, let me shake your hand. You know, we're equals. I want to show you that I don't look down on you. And he's like, nah, I'm good. Like, and he tells her at first, like, it's just because my hands are dirty. She's like, no, that's cool. I'll get my hands dirty too. Like, we're the same. He's like, if we were the same, like, your hands would be dirty too. Yeah. Like, my hands are dirty. Yours already, we're already not the same.
From the gate. Remember, she picked him. She was just like, yo, you give me the tour, Zaddy. She hit him with the Zaddy with the Z.
The Zaddy?
And I was just like, she's throwing it at him. But I respect her for shooting her shot, though. I respect any woman that shoots her shot, but he ain't sure. Fucking with her, at least as of now.
Nah, he's not about this life.
Oh, okay, yeah. I guess maybe he's just about this work.
No, I mean, I think exactly. I think Lamika, his whole vibe is really just, I'm here to do what Orga tells me to do because that's gonna be good for all of us. Yeah. That's really his whole vibe, and he's like, all right, Orga told me to be cool with her, so he's like, all right, I'm gonna look after her. I'm gonna be cool with her. I'm gonna make sure she trusts me to look after her. That's his whole purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. And right after that meeting, we see that Orga, I mean, for good reason, Mikazuki trusts him because he's smart and he knows that, like, these adults are putting them on this job because if it was a good job, they'd be taking it. And he's already just like, all right, like, we're going to have, he and Biscuit are having a discussion about how they're going to try to get a leg up in this situation.
I'm meanwhile, Orga all day, just throwing it out there.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in space, we get a little bit more exposition from Megillus and Galileo. They're talking about Ahab reactors and how this basically started this 300-year war known as the Calamity War, and that basically that's why there's still some of this strife today. And I think the Ahab reactor is what gives the Gundam suit power, which is why it is the power source of the CGS base. And these Ahab reactors seem to be, you know, one of the things that people were fighting about during that war all that time ago. Meanwhile, back at the CGS base, as everybody's getting ready to go to sleep, you've got, you know, the kids out on guard, you know, somebody just shooting the shit, just talking, and bam, like sniper shots just start going off and kids just start dropping all over the place.
Bro, you're sniping kids. That's wild.
Isn't that crazy? But it seems that these people, at least later on, we find out that they didn't know they're about to go up against a whole bunch of child soldiers.
Right. Yeah. No idea.
As these shots are going off, somebody else spots them and they send the flare up, and immediately the Gallarhorn people, Orlis, the guy who's commanding them, are just like full on attack. Let's charge in. And they have like a ton of these little tank suits, the mobile workers of their own that just start coming in and unloading on the CGS base.
Yeah. And the kids are like, yo, do they not care about money? They're just shooting this ammo like it's nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they start scrambling to get ready. Meanwhile, the adults start panicking because they know who they're under attack by. The president starts just like grabbing all the money he's got in his safe. He's just like, yo, we got to get out of here. So the adults, they command the third unit, all the kids, to basically head out front and like hold the line. Basically as a distraction for while the adults sneak out the back.
Yo. Go ahead.
Go
ahead. I mean, they're shitty.
Golly.
So the kids are running out there. There's even this one kid whose name I forget. It's like Dijin or something like that. I forget. They're just like, all right, Dijin, this is your call up time. Like getting one of the mobile workers. Like it's all hands
smacked,
on
right?
deck.
He's when he got smacked, I think, earlier.
No, because the blonde kid that got smacked. This kid that got into the. He was one of his friends, though.
Right, the blonde kid got smacked. Okay. Yeah.
But it's one of his friends. It's like, oh, yeah, and it's my time. And the blonde kid that got smacked was like, oh, man, like, you know, shit, I wanted to get into one of the suits, you know. So they all get into the suits and they're doing their best. They're getting pushed back. But then Mikazuki and Akihiro get in theirs and they're out in the field just like fighting back to back, just fucking dudes up. And all of a sudden, like the tide starts to turn in the favor of the CGS kid soldiers of the third group. And while this is all going on, as the adults are sneaking out the back, Orga is trying to like command this whole thing. He's got the command of all the third unit groups, but he's got Biscuit back in the base, you know, basically making their plan that they had made the night before all go off without a hitch. And that's
very smart.
They get Kudalia put into, you know, a safe place. They put her in with the Gundam where, you know, she'll be fine. And then basically they send off these flares that they had rigged to all the different like mobile workers of the first group, giving their position away. And immediately the Gallarhorn people are like, yo, get those suits because we're not trying to have any survivors for this. And they immediately go after the adults as well, which lets the third group, you know, gives them a little reprieve. They're able to like hold their ground a little bit. That is until the Gallarhorn mobile suits come out and they just start chopping people up. Like, they just start wading through the bodies. It's bad. And that's at one point where we see that one kid, Dijin, that got the call up, like, makes the heroic charge, like, hey, we got to get in close. And he just, I mean, his whole suit just gets absolutely destroyed. But Orga has an ace up his sleeve. He sends Mikazuki down into the base to activate the second part of the plan, which we were not told about. But it's not long after that, you know, with Orlis, you know, charging the lines and trying to take out Orga, that Mikazuki rises up out of the ground in the mobile suit and just takes, or in the Gundam suit, and takes out the mobile suit that's been attacking Orga. And just like in one hit, this dude is down. Yeah. And that's our introduction to what these mobile suits can do in the end of the first episode.
Man.
I'm glad he took that first dude out, too, because wasn't that first dude like talking shit or something like that early on?
He was. He was just like, oh, yeah, like, you
like,
know, these guys.
Like, he was going,
take out everybody. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was the commanding guy, right?
Yeah, he told the other guy, the other older dude that later on fights, like, shut up. Like, don't worry about this. Like, I'm in command right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think they show that the older guy was the mentor of the younger guy.
Right.
And the boss of both of them gave the younger guy his first shot. It was like, yo, I want you to go support your mentee in battle. And so he empowered his mentee to be the boss, and he immediately became a dick
out the gate.
It was just like, all right, cool, we're doing this the way I wanted. It feels to me like that whole battle, he screwed it up.
Yeah.
Because instead of, like, they had these mobile suits and they sent in all their mobile workers too to fight like toe to toe when they had mobile suits the whole time. Mm-hmm. If they would have sent the mobile suits out front, the mobile workers on the other side would have just gave up. you know, the fight's over right then because they knew they can't fight mobile suits. And so it's just like, why did you do that? Like, he said, I just wanted to see what they could do. And
yeah,
like,
basically, Crank even...
He died, right?
He does die. He dies right as soon as Mikazuki tackles him. It must have just been, like, some concussive, like, he... there was no roll cage in that mobile suit or something like that.
No, I mean...
sorry, bitch.
They don't play in this show. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great first episode in the sense of saying, like...
It was. I was in.
Somebody died. Somebody is dead in the first episode, and that's what it is.
I was on both sides, episode two.
On both sides.
Yep.
So episode two, we start off a little bit further back. We see, you know, Mikazuki getting ready to get in. We see him talking with another character that we haven't really mentioned yet, old man Yukinojo, who's kind of like seems to be sort of a mentor to both Orga and Mikazuki. Kind of the one cool adult that's on the base, helps him out with their like mechanical needs and stuff like that. And he's loading Mikazuki into the suit, and he's just like, hey, man, like, just so you know, this is going to be different. It's going to be a way more intense feeling than just your mobile worker suit than you're used to. So, you know, get used to that. Take it easy. Don't go crazy out there. It's a totally different kind of connection. And meanwhile, Cordelia is there and is just like losing it. Like, you know, this is so inhumane. Like, how can you be, you know, using these connections for these kids? And, you know, Yukinojo is just like, I mean, this is the only job these kids can get. And right now they're standing in between you and this invading force. So maybe we shouldn't be questioning this right now. Maybe we should just get him into the suit and send him out there, which is exactly what they do. And Mikazuki gets to work immediately.
Yeah.
He destroys that first dude, and then when the other two suits are just watching, like, nearby, they're like, all right, cool, like, open up with gunfire, because all he's got is his, like, staff. But Mikazuki's smart, and he runs over to where the enemy mobile workers are retreating and hides amongst them. Like, all right, if you're going to shoot me, if you miss, you're probably hitting one of your own.
Yeah.
And the other guy, the Gjallarhorn guys, are just like, oh, how dishonorable. And Mikazuki's like, what are you talking about? Like,
you attacked our mobile workers. Yeah.
Mikazuki is not, he can't, he's illiterate. He can't read, but he's a very intelligent dude.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I would not want to face him on a battlefield.
Absolutely not.
In any way, shape, or form.
Very smart warrior. Yeah. Very.
Oh, for sure. And so the younger guy shoots out into battle to face him one-on-one. And Mikazuki, this is again where we see, like, even though this is his first time piloting one of these things, he's very capable and is just like dodging this, dodging that. Like, he chops off one of this dude's like mobile suit's arms when he tries to come in like with one of his axe attacks, and like, you know, grapples with him, and he's got him like dead to rights. And it's only because his mentor comes around and tries to blast him, and Mikazuki pushes off of him just in time. And they're even just like, shit, like, this kid's got great reaction timing.
Yeah, they're like, and we need to retreat.
Like, luckily they did, though, because. Yeah. Cause yeah, the old dude. You had one job, bro. Gas him up.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So as soon as Mika pushed the guy off, he does a cool move where he pretty much lays the Gundam down on its back, like parallel with the ground, and like is using the thrusters to fly along the ground to obviously dodge the blast and get to a space where he can have cover. But his thrusters malfunction. They're like they just do it. He stops himself. He gets to where he's supposed to be, and he's like, "Oh shit, something's wrong with my thrusters." And then they switch to the old black guy, old black mechanic. That's like the kind of like the godfather of all the kids, and he's just like, "Oh, I forgot to gas up the thruster."
How do you forget to gas up the?
Yeah, he's pretty much Jet in this show. I feel like.
Yeah, he's like Jet in the show.
Similar to
Jet from Cowboy Bebop.
Cowboy Bebop. Yeah,
I could totally see that.
But so Mika knows he doesn't have thrusters anymore and has limited power, but he's still ready to scrap. And then the Gjallarhorn guys, they just do a full retreat.
Yeah,
and Mika's
like
no,
we're
come
done.
Get it. And then, you know.
But he heard, but the dude heard that he was a kid.
Yeah, the old guy.
The older guy heard. He was like, yo, is this a child's voice?
He said it to Mika. He's like, are you a child? And he's like, yeah, I am.
Yeah, he's like, what? Like, and he was, and I thought he was like, well, fuck it. But he was like, nah, like, I ain't
gonna fight you.
Yeah, I wasn't about this. I didn't come here to kill children. This is crazy.
He's
like, you've been killing children all day, is basically what Mika tells him.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, everybody on this battlefield are children except for y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they retreat, and Mika wants to chase after him, but he's also just like he's bleeding heavy out his nose. Like it's been he's got a heavy blood flow and he passes out and he's done. That's a wrap for him too, because as his godfather was telling him, like, you know, hey, this is, you got to be careful out there, and this is kind of the repercussions he was talking about. So the battle ends there, and CGS starts the cleanup. Well, actually, before that even happens, we see Atra's on her way to, you know, basically meet up with CGS, and she sees a couple of kids in the road. Turns out this is Cookie and Cracker, more ridiculous names, and of course, related to Biscuit.
Hey, man, don't talk to me like that. Dragon Ball Z had a guy named Piccolo.
Piccolo is hard.
Dragon Ball Z names are ridiculous as well.
But they're all named from, well, at least the Saiyans are named from veggies. And Piccolo was also Tupac's name in A Different World, the TV show. So
I really?
Piccolo. Yes.
Cooler. Frieza.
Even the Ginyu Forces, like, they're all named after, like, dairy products. Yeah. Like burgers, butter.
Jeez, juice.
Yeah. It's anyway, yeah, it's ridiculous. But so back at you know, with Gjallarhorn, you know, the two surviving commanders are getting back and telling Coral, the dude that's been trying to organize this whole plan, like, hey, we, you know, she survived. We didn't get her. And he's pissed, especially when he finds out that it was kids they were fighting against. And he's just like, well, you're gonna go back and you're gonna kill him. Like, you're gonna get her. And Crank, the older of the two, is just like, no, like, we're done. We're not fighting kids. Like, they may not even have, like, a voice in this fight. I'm not going to go back and start killing them for a war they didn't even choose to be in. And Conrad's just like, you're going to go, or basically, you know, repercussions will be as dire as they can possibly be. And with that, Crank is kind of just like, all right, like, he turns to Ayn, his mentee, and is just like, all right, I'm going, you're staying. And he basically decides to take the sacrifice for his whole group and just go face off against, you know, CGS.
He's a G about it. I give him that.
Yeah. He at least had some honor.
Yeah.
But back at CGS, they're doing the cleanup. You know, we see that, you know, that kid, Dajin, died, and, you know, they're real sad about it. You know, everybody's kind of like licking their wounds and coming back. You know, Mikazuki is awoken in his mobile suit, and his and the godfather, Yukinojo. I'm just gonna call him godfather because it's a little easier. he tells him, like, hey, you know, like, I didn't want to disconnect you while you were still asleep. Like, you're safe, everybody's good. And Mikazuki's just like, you know, how many people died? And he's just like, you know, 42 of our people died.
Can I just take a moment with that?
Yep.
My man passed out from the battle from blood loss, wakes up, and the first thing he asks is, like, how many of us died, bro?
Yeah.
It's like, you saved us, man. It's like, no, but how many of us died? And he told him numbers. He's like, dude, you're a hero. And he's just like, Mika took it straight to heart. He's like, nah, no. I could have done more.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry. I just took that. But I was like, that spot. I was like, this dude's a G.
But clearly, you can see that, like, what the impact of him on the battlefield, because 42 of his group died, 68 of the adults died, like, those guys that they sent up with the flares. So clearly he did have an impact. And those adults are pissed, and they've gathered up all the leading members. Like, they've got Orga and Biscuit.
This scene right here.
Eugene.
This scene right here.
Yeah. And so the president is gone. You know, this one asshole dude with the mustache is taken over, and he's just like, you know.
You can't trust anybody with a Hitler mustache.
No, not at all.
Once you see the Hitler mustache, murder him. Because that's what he's going to do. He's going to turn his back on you, bro. You can't trust this dude, but go ahead.
So they're just like, all right, now, basically, which one of you fired up the flares on our suits? And Orga takes the whole blame. He's just like, it was me. It was all me. It was me by myself. And they beat the ever-loving shit out of him.
Yeah.
But he takes it and, you know, takes it for his troops. And as soon as they leave, he gathers everybody together. And it's just like, you know, it's only a matter of time now after that before the adults. Everything the adults give us now is going to be an even more overt attempt by them to kill us. So they're going to start taking jobs that are suicide missions. If we want to survive, we got to take control ourselves.
When they also said that Gjallarhorn's going to come back, he's just like, they're going to come back. These guys have let all of their decisions have led us to failure. Everything that they do is horrible. These are not the people that are going to allow us to live if we keep following their orders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the kids are smart enough. They picked up pretty early that we can't trust the adults at all.
Not at all. And so he's basically taking a vote of the leaders there, just like, you know, who's who's with me? And he's got mostly approval. I think Eugene is kind of like, not about that. Akihiro is just like, listen, I'm going to follow whoever's in charge. If that's the adults, that's the adults. If that's you, that's you. That's just my job.
He's so dope. I like his attitude. He's like, look, man, I'm here to fight. I don't care who's in charge. Y'all got my contract. I don't care.
Yeah, because we find out that, like, him and a bunch of other dudes that have the red stripes on their jackets, they're known as, like, human debris. Basically, they had so much debt that they got sold into soldiering. Yeah. They are owned by contract by the CGS people. Like, they have to fight for whoever owns their contract. So he's like, I'm stuck here. So, yeah, I'm going to do whatever. And at that point, Orga's just like, well, I didn't bring in the most important person here, Mikazuki. And if we got him on board, then, you know, this is no problem. I just got him to get to say yes. And everybody's just like, well, how are you going to do that? He's like, he never says no to me, basically.
Right.
At that point, we cut to Kudelia, who's, you know, kind of reflecting on her whole political career, thinking back on, like, all the, you know, war whooping she did about, like, you know, let's, you know, try to fight for the children of Mars and get our independence. And that's what has led to this. And yes, she's just, like, kind of reflecting on that. And when her assistant comes in, she's just like, shit, you know, I think my dad tried to kill me. What do you think?
Yeah. She's, the thing is, I like her character because she is naive, but she seems aware of her naivety. How do you say that?
Naivete.
But she seems aware of it, but she's also very intelligent. She's able to look at situations objectively, especially post-mortem. Like, after something happens, she can look back at it and say, okay, this is what I think is happening. In the moment, maybe not the best player. Like, when they're being attacked, she's like, what do I do? And Biscuit's like, just follow me.
She actually trying to, like, help or something like that. Yeah, and it was just like, shut. I hate people that do that shit. We got to keep you safe. I want to go out. But shut the fuck up and get
like,
down.
You're not a fighter.
It's not
just
your blood.
Know your role. Just know your role. You can help. This is not the time for you to help.
Exactly. Be the top dog in the sense of being the, with the Kane, with the dude from Vinland Saga, the prince.
Oh, Prince Canute.
Be the Canute of this shit.
But She definitely.
But I
she kind of looks like Canute.
Exactly. But I did respect her in that sense of, like, when she picked up pretty quickly, like, my dad tried to kill me. Like, I can't deal with him anymore. Like, I can't. She didn't pull the whole, like, nah, my dad wouldn't do that. Nah, she was like, no, this is episode two. Yeah, he, nope.
No, okay. I think that's a big deal because in most anime and most shows like this, did you not expect her to try to defend her dad?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, she just seemed like the character was going to do that. And she was like, nah, like my dad, first of all, never lets me go off planet. Mm-hmm. Second of all, he was doing, like, negotiations with these people before I got here.
Yep.
And he's cool with sending me off. Like, nah, my dad's a coward.
Yeah.
Like, he sent me here to die and he doesn't care.
So y'all trying to kill my dad for me? What's going on?
I know. She was just like, so y'all going to protect me and, like, and, like, and I mean, can I go into the next part, Rob? I don't know if I'm skipping.
Go for it.
Get mad at me.
Well, go for it. Go into the next part. Yeah.
Well, I think the next part is now that. Oh wait. So what happens now is Orga is like, yo, like, it's time to take this spot. Like, we about to take things over, right?
No,
because Mikazuki shows up first, and she's just like, hey, yo, I'm really sorry about all this. This is all my fault. And he's like, shut the fuck up. Like, we didn't do it for you. Like, we all fought for each other. Don't, like, belittle or look down on my
dead comrades,
compatriots that died out there.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't do this necessarily for you.
Like, this happened to us.
We fought for each other.
Yeah. And so, after that, Orga, like you said, was going around doing his political moves, trying to figure out who he has, and he decides to make the move. And is this the part? Am I here now? Can I talk about how they make the move?
We're not quite there yet. There's a few other meetings. I'll speed through that because what you're talking about happens in the next episode.
Oh, right. Fine. Whatever.
But
Rob,
just
do it.
To rush through it real quick, you know, because Atra shows up with Biscuit and Biscuit's sisters.
Oh, yeah.
They get to cooking. Kudelia shows up and wants to help out
because
she feels bad about their whole conversation. They're like, well, you can cook. So that's something you can do.
Trash.
And she chips in. She chips in, you know.
She chips in, but it's just like trash. Like, they're like, she has no idea what she's doing. Use your hands like this, not like that. What are you doing?
Yeah, you say you're supposed to do like a
cat
paw.
She's a rich girl. She's never worked
a
day in her life.
Yeah. She said, like, I think you're supposed to cut like a cat paw, and she was doing like a dog paw.
No, because she had her fingers out. Yeah, she had her fingers out, and she was cutting next to her fingers. Like, yo, hold it with your hand, your fist, not with your fingers.
Yeah.
You will cut your finger off. She's like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, she's that bad.
Yeah.
But, that's when Orga does go to meet up with Mikazuki, and it's just like, hey, so I got a plan for you. And he's like, oh, do you want to come say goodbye to, like, everybody? He's like, nah, I'm good. He's like, all right, well, I got a plan I want to talk to you about. Mikazuki stands up, cocks a gun, is like, all right, what are we doing?
Yeah,
like, I love this man.
Toy soldier,
he's like, you don't
bro.
Even want to hear about it? And he's like, no, I'm good. Like, whatever you want me to do, I'm good.
I'm it.
Who we killing?
In.
And Orga's just like, yo, man, I love you, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
this is yeah, why I fuck much. With you the long way. You yeah. my toy soldier.
Pause. This that was a good one, right?
It
come
was
on.
Perfect, yeah.
No, so Rob, I come on, Cam. That was a good one. Thank you. Cam, did you watch this show?
Okay.
Oh, okay. Boo. Okay. Boo. No, so I was going to say, so Rob, that ends the episode, doesn't it?
The last thing we see is the inspectors get to Conrad's base, and he's just like, oh, welcome, come on aboard. And they're just like, cool, he's definitely hiding something.
Yeah.
And then that's where the episode ends.
Yo, and I say this show has my favorite ending episode theme song. Like, it ends and goes right into that song. It's like, duh. Like, they normally play the music a few minutes, like a few seconds before.
Yeah.
Like, at first I was like, that song's annoying. But as I started watching the show, I remembered, like, yo, this song is the truth. Remember I said that, guys. Like, right now, you might have different feelings about it. Watch what they do
with
it.
I was going to say, I'm not there yet.
Watch what they do with it. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I'm not there yet either.
I love that song.
I'm not there yet.
Haters.
But episode 3 starts off, you know, they're having their dinner biscuit, and the girls are all serving their food. Mikazuki's on his way off to do his job, and he gets handed a bowl from one of the girls. They're just like, oh, here, Kudelia cooked this. And he's eating it, and she's just like, oh, no, like, it's bad. He's like, no, I like it. It's like, you cut these chunks real big. It feels like you're eating something.
Yeah.
And, like, she takes that, you know, she's blushing and all that, and Atra, meanwhile, is off to the side just like, oh, shit. Like, what the fuck is this? Like, she's clearly keying in on this because she tries to give Mikazuki, like, the good luck charm bracelet. And he's just like, oh, I'm too busy. I got shit to do.
At the
blows
end
her
of the day.
Off, but he's got time for her food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So that bullshit-ass bracelet ain't going to mean shit. I mean, it technically.
Hey,
I mean, it ends up doing
what? What's a nice bracelet you got there?
But my lady also cooks for me too. So yeah.
You found it.
I found it because I thought I lost this shit.
He found it.
I thought it was the end of me. But she gave me a bracelet. But my lady also cooks.
I'm so sorry, guys. I had to stop that there because y'all should have saw Keenan in here the other day. My man was shook.
He was like,
have y'all brothers seen my bracelet?
I took a picture. Y'all seen my bracelet? I'm like, if y'all seen this, man, let me know, man.
Have y'all seen this bracelet? I'm like, what's this bracelet, bro? I gotta find her. I'm in trouble,
man. And then I found it, and then I didn't say shit to
I'm
her
just
about
saying,
it.
How you gonna come at bracelets right now? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you coming at bracelets? Like, you are the last person in this conversation that can say anything bad about bracelets.
Oh man,
that's very funny. True. Yes.
So, like we were saying, Rob.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like we were saying.
True.
So meanwhile, all the kids are eating the biscuit, and Eugene are getting the meals ready for the adults. They go and serve them. They are absolutely pieces of shit about it. Just like, hey, you should have made this thicker. This doesn't have enough chunks on it. Like, literally pushing and kicking them around. You're just like, oh my god.
What's his name again? Biscuit. He said, "Get your fat ass. You should know something about thick soup, you fat mother." Like, whatever he said to him.
Yeah.
That legit made me laugh out loud, hard, bro.
Biscuit took that to the core, bro.
For them to put that in the anime, that was just because all I saw was him get his fat ass kicked out and that face go, like he made the fat kid's face.
Yeah.
I felt so bad, but I laughed so hard at the same time.
Ah, Biscuit.
It was so great.
Ah, that stuff.
Thank you for that, guys.
He doesn't have to wait. He takes it fine, though, because he knows his sweet revenge
is
coming.
All set up, baby.
Ooh, they eat that food, and then they wake up in a warehouse with their thumbs tied together all behind their back, and they're just like, huh, wait, like, what's going on? And Orga comes in with the rest of the third group, and they're just like, all right, so here's your situation. You can stay, or you can go, but we're in charge, and we're not letting the old leadership, you know, stick around anymore. And here's an example of that. Mikazuki steps forward and puts two bullets into the leader's head immediately.
Bro.
And he's like... like, immediately.
This right here, this one I was like, all right, I already knew Mikazuki was dope. But this right here would turn everything for me. I was like, he's stone cold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He did that shit and was just like he'd been killing since he was 2 years old. That's how he killed him.
Well, that's how they started off the whole show, is that.
He was young. Whatever happened at that point. Because I guess they just showed a flat. They didn't get the whole thing. But, bro, yeah, he pumped two bullets into him. Was like, so do y'all not want
anyone else? And then
some dude charges.
Like, well, go ahead, Rob.
And then another guy charges. They shoot him 2-3 times
too.
Just like,
I'll never follow you, stupid kids. I'm like, what is he? And Mika's just like, bap, bap. Anyone else? Everybody else is like, oh, no, we cool.
At least if you didn't fuck with Mikazuka, you'd be like, oh, man, you bow down for a second so you get your thumbs untied, and then you do what you got to do. But you don't try to charge with your thumbs. Ah!
Now, for me, like, looking at how leadership works and how power works,
yeah,
Orga did the perfect thing here.
Yeah.
And then follows through in the perfect way. So he takes them all, puts them in a place where they are defenseless, puts their leader in front of them, has their leader try to usurp his power that he has now just gained,
mm-hmm,
and says, all right, here's my enforcer. Kill him in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Bam, he's dead. Now the right-hand man of that guy, bam, you're dead. Now the rest of you have a choice.
Fall the fucking line or bounce.
Fall in line or get out of here.
Yep.
I'm not going to force y'all to stay, and I'm not going to kill you, but you ain't welcome here no more.
Yeah.
And for me, yeah, I think that was brilliant because he's just like, yo, like, y'all can stay or you can leave. And then they're like, okay, and the first guy to raise his hand to leave was the accountant. And Biscuit was like, no, you get to stay. You
gotta
stay.
We got
stay.
A job for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, you going to chill, fam. We need you.
Yeah.
Well, but they work it out where basically they offer all the adults severance pay, which is way more than they ever fucking deserved.
They should
but
have after- got shit.
And the thing is, though, that's fair. And the reason I think that's fair and the reason I think it's a good call by Orga is because the guy that led them is the only reason they were doing the things that they were doing. Some of them might have been inherently evil, mm-hmm, but they were soldiers following orders. So you can't hold them responsible for what their leadership decided. He took out their leadership, took out the number one I am man, and said, y'all can get gone, but you were here for a job. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's what you were doing, your job, and you have pay for that. So we're going to give you severance pay. And there's two reasons you do that. Number one, you set an example for the people that are following you right now and saying, mm-hmm, this is how I treat people that aren't even loyal to me.
Yeah.
And number two, you don't want to create enemies out of the people that know the back door to your base.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, look, mm-hmm, we're going to take care of y'all. Like, look, we don't got no beef with you. You didn't do this. Y'all be on your way. Here's severance pay. Disappear.
I still ain't trusting them.
I'm not going to trust them, but at the same time, like, you're not creating an enemy in that moment.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, Orga had every opportunity to turn every single one of them into the corpses or enemies, mm-hmm, and he did neither. Mm-hmm. And the reason he did neither is because he understands morale, he understands leadership, and he understands his team is still trying to figure out how they're going to follow him.
I feel like that's like some Art of War shit or something.
Well, maybe if you read that book
that you gave me. First of all... See, we're doing a lot of shit that y'all don't know. Some
yeah,
outside,
I know.
Shit. But
I gifted Keenan a book. That's it. That's
yeah,
all it
he gifted me
leadership.
A book. And I had another book I'm reading before. I don't like reading two books at the same time if I don't have to.
I don't want
to
hear your excuses.
So I just I now that. Finished up my other book, and I was quarantined in Kentucky.
And
now
read.
That I'm back,
uh-huh,
I'm going to start reading it.
We'll
I just got back
next
a few
time
hours
we record,
ago.
Guys, I'll bring this back up. Go ahead, Rob.
So basically all the adults, they take the pay and they leave, with the exception of one of them. And it's the Hitler mustache dude. And you yep. know that he's going to turn on him at some point.
Exactly.
I mean, like you said, you don't have that mustache and stay truthful. It just doesn't
Never.
Happen
he
that way.
He seems slippery. He's like, hey, kids, yeah. don't worry. I'm here with you. We out here, guys. Like, bro. Yeah,
not trustworthy.
Not trustworthy.
Too friendly.
Too excited to be on our team.
But what the accountant tells him is like, all right, after we pay everybody out, we've got 3 months of operations. And after that, we're broke. We're dead broke. And so the rest of CGS is just like, all right, Orga's like, we gotta keep working then. We gotta get a job. We gotta figure out what we're gonna do. And the Hitler mustaches dude's first idea is like, well, let's give Cordelia over to Gjallarhorn. That'll help get Gjallarhorn off our back. We can barter her for some money, get us going for a while. And plus, what do we owe her at this point? And you know, we can basically bury the hatchet with Gjallarhorn, who way outguns us. And Orga's thinking about it, but doesn't seem to be super into the idea. But as he's considering it, the alarm goes off as another Gjallarhorn mech shows up. And they arrive, and as they run outside, it's Krank. He's basically just like, all right, like, I'm here. He's got the red sash over his shield, the sign for a duel. He's like, all right, I'm here on my own. You send out your best, and we'll settle this. And if I win, you give me the suit that you took from Orlis. When you killed him, and you give me the girl Cordelia. And they all kind of turn to Mikazuki, and they're just like, you think you can do this? And of course Mikazuki's just like, yeah, hell yeah. I already just kicked the like ass of two of them like by myself while I was out there. I can take on one dude,
easy.
I think. So they suit up, and they get out onto the field, and you know, Hitler Mustache Dude is still just like, and at this point, even Cordelia's just like, just give me over, like I don't want any more of you to die, and Orga's not hearing it. He's just like, basically just like, no, like, you're good, we're gonna protect you, Mikazuki's got this. And as he goes out there and he starts this duel, it's a pretty cool fight. Like, Crank, again, he's like trying to give this guy some respect. He's just like, you know, I feel bad for you. Like, you know, I don't want to fight child soldiers. And Mikazuki is just like, I'm not a victim. Like, I never did anything in my life I didn't want to do.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to kill you. He said it like, he was very intimidating in that fight.
Well, yeah, he said, because they was like, what do I win? What do we get out of this? Because he was like, he was like, the other dude was like, well, you know, if I win, give us old girl, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he didn't give an alternative. He's like, if I win, I get the girl, and that's it.
Yeah.
So Mika's fighting, and like while they're fighting, he's like, you didn't say what happens if I win. And
Mikazuki ends up winning the fight.
Oh, my goodness.
He does.
He lights my man up.
And
Crank knocks the fucking thing out of his arm or his hand, and then Mikazuki picks up the spear and just like shoves it right through his chest where the pilot is. It's nuts.
And then he kind of like, the dude pops out. And he's, like, sitting there, and he's just, like, pretty much, like, well, he tries to give a speech, like, you know, I'd rather kind of die type thing. And as he's saying that, he just gets shot up.
No. That is not how it happens at all.
Not exactly.
He asked Mika to do that. Like,
he does.
But he wasn't finished talking yet.
No, he was.
No, he was thanking him. He was immediate. He was like, thank you. And before he gets the you out, that's when.
He gets shot.
That's if I'm going to get executed, that's how I want it to happen.
Like, it's a surprise.
Yeah.
Would we be surprised? I don't know. I felt like that was still Stone Cold.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Stone Cold. Super Stone 100%. Cold.
Mika is, yo, bro.
No, let me set this up really
quick. He ain't no Shinji in this bitch.
So Mika wins the fight. He no Shinji. No. Oh, Lord. But Mika wins the fight. And then after he wins the fight, my man opens his cockpit. And he's already bleeding. He's already hurt. And then Mika, like, addresses him. It's like, I don't like how you disrespected me and didn't give me an option what happens when I win.
Yeah.
And he was just like, I'm sorry. I didn't have an option to lose. Mm. If I lost, then that was it. And then he was just like, yo, but, like, can you just finish this for me? And then Mika's just like, I suppose, pulls out a handgun. He's like, I just want to say thank you. And that's it. Mika had zero hesitation. He's like, all right, I'll kill you. And then he kills him. That's it.
He does.
He didn't blink. He was like, all right, trying to go back. Like
And then he goes right back in his mobile suit and goes back to the base. Like, and that was it. And they collect his mobile suit.
Yes.
They do. And while that fight's going on, we have that kind of more of that moment that you were talking about, Keenan, where, you know, Cordelia is over on the side with Orga, just like, oh, I want to help. Like, maybe I can get the implant. And he's just like, no, don't bother. It could kill you, number one. Number two, I don't think that's a good idea. Like, that's not really where your strengths are.
Right.
But during the fight, she's just like, I do want to be as strong as Mikazuki, but I'm going to do it in another way. Mm. And the way that she figures out to do that is, I still want to go to Earth. I can pay you guys to take me to Earth. I have this dude, Noblis, who seems like he's got his fingers in a lot of pots. I got this guy, Noblis, that could want to fund this and keep you guys paid, basically. And so, you know, if you want to still work for me, we can work that out. And also during that fight, with the inspiration of the, I think, the iron thing going through, you know, Crank's chest, Orga comes up with the new name for CGS, because CGS is basically the name of the people that used to enslave them. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, well, we're not going to be that anymore. We're going to be this new name, which I think is Tekadon, which is an iron... Tekadon, which is an iron flower that never wilts. So, you know, basically a big symbol for their will. And they get back and they tell Mikazuki. Mikazuki's like, I like it. Sounds great. That's our new name. Let's move forward with this first job, getting Cordelia to Earth. And that's right where we pick up in episode 4, as they're, you know, starting their plan to try and get Cordelia to Earth. But the problem is that Gjallarhorn controls basically all the space in between, and that to try and get there, you're going to have to try to make a deal with somebody to escort you through uncharted space. And that's where Hitler Mustache sees his turn to strike, and it's just like, hey, you know, I got this guy he's a friend of mine, owes me a couple favors, runs the Orcus company. They've got all this area that they can travel through. Maybe they can lead us through and get us to Earth. And maybe they take a share of the profits, but it won't be too bad.
Meanwhile, you've got Cordelia. She is talking with Noblesse. She's got him on like a video chat. She's just like, you know, sitting in the cafeteria. He's like shirtless in like a sweat lodge or something like that.
Yeah.
Like being way too eager about like funding this. She's just like, you know, thank you very much for, you know, funding this and helping us to continue this fight for freedom. And he's just like, yes, defueled the goddess of death to feed on the corpses of all of the dead. And she's just like,
I do. I have a lot of never trust. And here's another one. Never trust a fat guy that's sweating this much.
Damn.
Sorry, man.
So Hitler mustache, fat guy that sweats.
He just seems sneaky out the gate. I didn't trust
him. Oh, 100%.
No.
And the fact that we already know from the Gjallarhorn people that they're trying to get money from him too. This guy seems like he's just like putting money everywhere. Whoever comes out on top, he's in good position. So
that's kind of how the elites kind of do it. They fund both sides.
Exactly. They're playing both sides of the I'm playing both sides, so I always come out on top. It's an always sunny thing. So the guy comes back with the offer from Orcus. They're just like, all right, they'll do it for 45% of the pay, and they're desperate enough that they're like, I mean, all right, like we'll take it, I guess. But it's obviously not great, but they have to do what they got to do. And Orga meanwhile takes Akihiro and another guy, Dexter, and it's just like, all right, you guys are going to head up ahead of us. You're basically going to get the ship ready. They have a ship up in space. It's an old CGS ship that they rename. I forget. Brendan, do you remember what the name of the ship is?
No, I find out though. Keep going.
But he basically is just like, all right, you guys go up and take care of the ship. Make sure that's ready for us when we get up there to meet up with Orcus. And also, by the way, here are your contracts. I'm giving them back to you. You can stay if you want, or you can go. And with that, it's kind of like Brendan, you'll remember this from like Game of Thrones when Daenerys kind of goes up to the Unsullied and is just like, you can follow me if you want. You don't have to. And they're just like, well, now that you gave us the choice, like, fuck yeah, we're in kind of thing. And like, you know, these guys are going to be motherfuckers on the battlefield. We already know that Akihiro is at least second in the group to Mikazuki. Yeah,
he's a beast.
He's definitely a beast. So at the Gjallarhorn operation up in space, you've got the two inspectors diving deeper into their whole thing. What's his name? McGillis is just like, hey, okay, you know, I noticed that there's a whole like contingent of soldiers missing. So that's kind of weird. And brings it up to Conrad, and Conrad's just like, oh yeah, there was like this riot we had to subdue. So, you know, that's where they're taken care of.
I love how Conrad just keeps, when things happen, he just slams his head.
Yeah.
He was making me crack up. Like, instead of just slamming his head, he's slamming his head against a wall, slamming his head against a table. Slam his head against the toilets coming soon, I'm sure.
Pretty much.
So, Rob, but the ship's name originally was Will of the Wisp, and now it's called the Isaribi.
Isaribi. Yeah. Okay, cool. So he realizes that these guys are kind of onto him, Conrad, and then he tries to offer him a bribe. They shut that down real quick, and they're just like, this dude is, like, we knew he was up to something, but this is fucking weird. So they end up actually heading down to Mars, to the surface, to do some inspecting of their own. Meanwhile, Mikazuki and, and one thing that we did skip over, we did kind of mention it in passing, that when, when Mikazuki did fight, Crank, he did have the good luck bracelet from Atra, and like he's been sniffing it, so he knows who it's from, and he runs into her again when he arrives on the farm with Biscuit, and they arrive on the farm where they grow like all these cornfields. It's at Biscuit's grandmother's farm, and Atra's there, and then she's just like, oh, and I see you brought Cordelia as well. That's super cool. And he's like, yeah, you know, I just wanted to show her, you know, kind of how this whole thing works. And, you know, they're out there in the field picking corn, and he kind of tells her about, like, you know, he thanks her in part for like helping them to continue to do this, because he shows her like all this corn that they grow, like they sell for dirt cheap. And, you know, this is one of the only things they have as an income. They wouldn't be able to maintain, you know, their operations without her help. And he thanks her for that. And he wanted to show her this. Meanwhile, you know, Cookie and Cracker are picking on Atra, just like, hey, she's about to steal your man over there. Like, you better figure something out quick. But the inspectors, meanwhile, are kind of scoping out the battlefield. They're just like, hey, the CGS group, you know, there's a report of a battle here the other day. I think this is probably where that contingent of soldiers went, and that's probably what they're hiding, but there's, like, no evidence of what actually happened there. Like, CGS or Tekadon did a pretty good job of cleaning shit up afterwards. So they're on the road back to, you know, head back to headquarters when they almost hit Cookie and Cracker in the road as they're running away from picking on Atra. And immediately, Mikazuki runs over.
Puts my man on the car.
Yeah.
Galeo is like apologizing, and yeah, he just choke slams him, like lifts him up like the fucking Hulk, and it's like got him up against the car and is choking the shit out of him until the grandmother comes over and it's just like, put him down. Like, you always do this. Let him go. He's apologizing.
Are you guys watching the sub or dub? Sub, right?
Sub.
Sub, yeah.
Okay. The old lady's voice is Frieza in the dub.
Oh really?
Yeah,
that's
it's
hilarious.
Frieza. It's the female Frieza voice. Yeah. You can clearly tell who it is.
Because it's the same woman that does what's her face in Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yep, same one in Yu Yu Hakusho. Yep.
Yeah. See, like that's why it's always like the Frieza voice. It sounds like an old lady voice in the American dub. It's so weird. I always thought that, and now that same voice actor is playing old ladies on like every other show.
Wait, so did we skip over a part? And maybe this is only in the dub. I don't know if it says this in the sub. But the pretty boy blonde dude, what was his name?
Eugene.
He says like the girl's dating.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You're talking about McGillis. Yeah, no, he's talking with what's-his-face in the car, right?
Yeah, and he's like, yo, my fiance or whatever is like 9 years old.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, this show hits on a lot of stuff, so it's like an arranged marriage.
Yeah, that was wild, bro. Yeah. He's like, I don't know how old he is, but he looks at least 19, 20.
Yeah, so it's like an arranged marriage.
And I think
that'll make it any better.
Galeo's little sister. I think it's Galeo's little sister, too. He says.
Yeah, it's his companion's little sister.
Bro.
Yeah. No comment.
Come on, Kales.
Weird.
Come on, Kales. I know the parents be sitting there giving the kids to you, but you need to be grown and deny this shit.
Ugh.
Come on,
bro. Yeah, so he's basically, I at least hope they wait for her to get at least 10 years older before they marry her off. But
I thought you said she gets 10 years old.
I was like, Rob, no.
What the 10 fuck? Years old,
all of your arguments.
A very important ER.
All of our arguments.
ER on the end of that.
All of our arguments in the past will be void if you had said that, just so you know.
Yes.
You would no longer have ground to
stand
on.
You gotta wait till she's at least 10. Wait till she's at least 10.
Oh, shut up. Shut up.
He said 10 years older.
Yeah, older. Yes.
So she's 19. Still too young, I mean, honestly, to probably be making a decision like that. But at least she'll be a consenting adult at that point. Mikazuki lets him down, and Galeo tries to take a swing at him at that point because he's pissed, obviously. And, you know, Mikazuki dodges out of the way. And at this point, McGillis is getting out of the car and notices the shit on his back. And it's just like, hey, couldn't help but notice your AVS system. That's kind of weird for you guys to have that out here. Yeah, it's like, didn't they used to have that? It's like on, you know, military type shit. And they're just like, oh, yeah, you know, I've done some training. And Biscuit comes in and is just like, oh, yeah, like, because they ask him about the battle. He's just like, oh, yeah, I think that was CGS. They're like a paramilitary group in the area. You know, they're trying to play it cool because they know these guys are obviously like Gjallarhorn people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're the enemy. They're wearing that shit like on their chest, like it's on the car. Like Cordelia's assistant grabbed her and took her into the cornfields to hide. Like they know this is a tense situation, but they play it pretty cool. And McGillis even gives some chocolate to Cookie and Cracker as an apology on their way, and they head out.
Go with little girls.
Oh, Jesus. He's like, you know, my fiance is about your age.
Yeah, she likes these chocolates. Do you
God
like them
damn.
Too?
Oh, that's terrible.
It is terrible. But they head off on their way. You know, all the Tekaden people head back, and they see that the new logo for Tekaden has been emblazoned where the old CGS logo is, and it's the red blooming flower that you know will become their logo. They get ready to start their new beginnings for their first mission, which is what comes up here in the last episode, episode number 5. Last episode that we watched. So they're getting ready to, you know, start their mission to head out. You know, they're basically putting the last handshakes on this deal with Orcus. How sweaty was this dude, Keenan? Did you trust him?
Absolutely not.
Okay, I didn't think so.
Was he too sweaty?
Huh? Yeah, this dude was pretty sweaty too. I can't trust you. I don't trust a lot of sweaty people. When I see you sweating, I'm like, what are you nervous about? Or what are you?
Fair.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, I don't sweat a lot though.
Some people do. I'm not one of the people that sweat a lot. That's why I'm so trustworthy.
Like, for me, the days that I work out, I'm just sweaty the rest of the day, no matter what I do. I can walk briskly to the bathroom and sweat after I work out. It makes no sense. But on days that I'm not working out, I don't sweat at all.
Those are the days I'll have a discussion with you because I'll trust you.
But, wow.
Yeah.
I shower. Like, thank
conditional
you,
trust.
Cameron was like, he doesn't shower after the workout? That might cool you off a little bit.
So they do the handshake deal, which is a big deal because the CEO comes down to meet with Orga himself. Orga's like, yo, I like the way that you came here to do this. So they all set up. They gear up. They're getting ready to do it. They go over the plans to go up. And they say the plans are that we're going to take one of these little space. Am I messing up, Rob?
No, the only thing that to know before this is that as soon as they make the handshake deal, Conrad up on the Gjallarhorn ship gets a call from his assistant as he's slamming his head against his desk once again.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I told you not to bother me. And they're like, hey, no, sorry, we've got the leader of Orcus on the phone. And he's like, oh, yeah, put him through. And he immediately is just like, oh, shit, an opportunity to get back
myself
on the good side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, they're going to sell out the kids. We're going to get the girl. Everybody wins. We're great. And so the plan is the Orga describes his people. He's like, look, we're going to take our main force. We're going to get on our little pod spaceship. We're going to launch up, meet up with our main ship, follow the Orcus people through their pathway to get to Earth or Mars. I don't remember.
To Earth. They're leaving Mars.
Yep, to get to Earth. And we'll at that point, we'll have finished the job. We'll get our money. She's going to do her thing. And everybody wins, right?
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah. So, I mean, what Conrad wants to do is jump in and intercept that. And he actually brings the inspectors in on it is the other thing, is he's finally like, all right, I can get on their good side, too, by being like, hey, guys, like the leaders of the Mars Revolution are going to be on their way to Earth. And you don't want that to happen, do you? Well, you guys can take the credit. I don't even care. Like, you can use my men. You can do it. It's no problem at all. And again, McGillis is smart enough to know, like, all right, he's probably going to try to screw us over. But if we can get our hands on this Cordelia lady, we don't have to kill her. We just capture her alive. And then we can just basically force her to tell the Martian people to like stand down. Yeah. Like we can just make her say whatever we want to say.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back at Tekadun, Atra shows up, doesn't want Mikazuki to get too far away from her. So she quits her job and is just like, I'm joining up with the military.
Smart.
Like,
she's smart.
Let me be a cook with you.
And they're all like, she can cook though.
Yeah. Well, they turn to Mikazuki and they're just like, what do you think, Mikazuki? And he's like, she can cook. And she, again, blushes. So she's trying with the food thing. She's trying the food angle.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I didn't even realize that she immediately switched tactics. Like, oh, you like food, huh? Like,
yeah.
That's how I'll get him.
But I think even in the prior episode, Mikazuki had thanked her for making him the bracelet too. He's just like, oh yeah, I recognize it's just like yours. Like, thank you. And she's just like, oh, he noticed me. Exactly. So they
outside it, if you're fighting him.
Oh yes, yeah, he's a savage.
Or then it's a different story.
Tells him to kill you. Other than that, he's a good dude.
So what you gotta stay on Orga's good side.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's it.
So they all load onto their the transport ship and get ready to meet up with the Orca people up in space. The Orcus people up in space. And that includes, you know, Atra, Eugene, Orga and all those people, Cordelia, and they launch up in what looks like it kind of like a traditional, like the Columbia spaceships or whatever, like even from that Cowboy Bebop episode where they have the old spaceship that goes to help out Spike. Kind of looked like one of those.
Yep.
And so they're on their way up and they see the Orcus ship and they're just like, hey, that's a little weird that they're a little early.
Yeah.
And Hitler Mustache Man immediately is like cackling, you know, like rubbing his hands together, like, yes, we're about to spring my trap. But that isn't until the Gjallarhorn mobile suits come out and he's just like, oh, shit, they even went behind my back. And he starts freaking out.
Yep.
And
he's like, get him on the phone.
Yeah, and Orcus is just like, oh yeah, thanks Hitler Mustache Man, like, we couldn't have done this without your help. And they just start beating the shit out of this dude, like, rightfully so, like, they just start kicking the shit out of him, because he's, at this point, it seems like he's led them to their doom. One of the Gjallarhorn suits runs up to their transport ship and is about to, like, put an axe through it when the hatchback, like, opens up, and right out of it comes Mikazuki's, like, gun, and he just blasts this dude right in the chest and sends him off into the dead of space. And he comes out and he starts immediately getting into a fight with these other mobile suits. And he's trying to cover the transport while they fly around. You've got the Orcus ship and the Gjallarhorn ship chasing after them. And It's while they're trying to get away, they're kind of worrying about, you know, is Mikazuki going to be okay? But they're just like, his armor will hold up as long as he keeps it a distance battle. Like, their shells aren't strong enough to pierce through. So he's trying to keep the distance, the battle at a distance. And that's when as the Gjallarhorn ship is coming in to, you know, attack them, that's when Orga's other part of his plan comes into fruition. And the Isarabi shows up with all the other guys. They showed up early, so all obviously Orga didn't trust this whole deal to begin with.
And he gets it. It's adults.
Yeah.
He knows he's had his trust broken way too many times. So as their ship shows up, you've got they dock with that. Everybody gets inside, and he sends Akihiro out to go help out Mikazuki. And so they use one of their captured suits, Krang's old suits, to get out there.
Yeah.
And you've got Conrad and Ayn are out there, just like obviously pissed because, you know, they've got an axe to grind. They've been embarrassed and by these, like, kids already.
We know that suit.
Mm-hmm.
That is Conrad's suit, or that's Krang's suit. So they charge in, and Conrad tries to get in on him. Mikazuki, he takes care of business.
Yeah.
Chops that dude up, and I think that's a wrap, because he had all these other nefarious plans. He's just like, I'm going to kill Cordelia, then I'm going to kill these two inspectors, because accidents happen in battle all the time. I'm going to come out on top. And that's it. That's the end of his schemes, as far as we can tell. It didn't look like he survived that.
I don't think,
but,
he
you know, maybe
that.
Maybe we'll find out more in the next episode. I don't know. But Ayn is now the only guy left. He's got an axe to grind, and he charges in against Mikazuki. But it's his buddy, what's his name, Akihiro, is basically throwing shots with this, like, huge rifle that Mikazuki gave to him, and manages to shoot that dude and hold him off. So that's when the inspector guys are just like, oh shit, like, they see the Gundam out on the field, and McGillis, who seems to be a smart guy, student of history, is just like, oh, that's a Gundam frame, the Barbados. You know, these Gundam suits only come out, like, at times of great importance in history, and now one has come out, basically in the support of Mars. Like, how interesting. And so he and Galeo get involved in the fight, and they very quickly figure out that Mikazuki is. And they're just like, oh, you're the kid from the farm. And he's like, oh, you're the chocolate man.
I love that response. He's like, oh, it's the chocolate man.
Pretty much, yeah. And so he gets into a fight with them. Meanwhile, while that's going on, you've got the two ships chasing the Isarabi. And they're just like, they basically come up with this Apollo 13 type plan, where they're like, if we can swing around, because right now they're chasing us, if we can basically use this cable to swing around this asteroid to about face and, you know, come around the other side and shoot them down, like, that can be a plan. The only issue is, once we're connected to the asteroid, how are we going to get back off? And Eugene, like, credit to him, for as big of a piece of shit he's been this whole time, he's immediately like, put me in, like, I'll go in one of those mobile worker suits and just, like, shoot that shit off if I have to. So, and that's exactly what he does. It seems like the plan's not going to work at first, but Eugene comes through in a pinch and is able to blast the cable off, and the Isarabi comes around and just basically fires off its flares and its guns in the Orca ships and the Gjallarhorn ships' face, and they're able to make a clean escape. And they're heading over towards Mikazuki, facing off against these two other Gjallarhorn suits, and they've got him wrapped up. Like, you know, they basically shoot these cables into his arms, like, tie him up. He's jettisoning off pieces and stuff, and McGillis is complimenting him, like, you know, this dude can fight. Like, he's watching, you know, Galeo fight with him, and Migazuki's just like when they were fighting hand to hand, he's like zipping all around and like doing these crazy movements because he's got the AVS system. Like, he just can move like nobody else can. Even, you know, Akihiro's noticing that because he's like, I can't help as much because the suit I'm using doesn't have that same system for me to tap into.
Right.
So I just can't fight on that same level. But he's able to kind of hold his own, and eventually it seems like they're about to kind of – he's a little outmatched with these two guys. You know, they're pretty skilled pilots as well. He might not be able to face both of them at the same time, but the Usurabi comes around just around at the right time, mm-hmm. and he hitches a ride on that, and they zoom off towards safety. And they kind of come back on. It turns out, luckily, everybody's safe. They managed to get Eugene out of the mobile worker as well. Yep. And they're down one less crew member because they sent Hitler Mustache Man off in a little pod and sent him off to Gjallarhorn and, like, wrote on his stomach, he's your problem now, basically. Yeah. And, you know, tell him to fuck off. And McGillis, if anything, seems intrigued by this, you know, kind of just like, oh, shit, like, these guys are a worthy challenge, and we'll see where we go from there. And that's the first five episodes of Iron Blooded Orphans.
Hey, first five episodes.
I'm not going to lie. In revisiting them, I more connections to things I didn't notice. I like them a little more than when I watched them.
Well, we're going to get, we since it's your pick, we're not going to do yours first. You're going to do yours last.
All right, go ahead. Ice.
Actually, we're going to go with Ice. Ice sent his stuff in. So he said, here is my thoughts.
Please don't read the whole thing like that.
Mika and Orga are the only characters worth caring about, but they're still pretty uninteresting. I like Mika. This shit is boring and feels like I'm watching a soap opera. They throw too many characters and pieces of the story at you early on. They're doing a decent job of bringing a human element to the mix, which helps strengthen the fight scenes. I don't want to like this anime because we shit on. I do want to like this anime because we shit on Gundam so much, but I can't as of yet. I wouldn't go as far as saying it's trash, but I do see an L in Brennan's future.
That's the most ice review of all time.
Yeah.
He stays true.
And what was the score? Did you say the score already?
His overall score was a 5,300.
Okay.
Rob, you want to go next?
Yeah, sure. I'll say that based off these, I like it so far. I don't love it. I don't know that I see this as a soap opera at this point. I think that's a little too far. I mean, there's been a good amount of action, you know, with some resolution. It's not just like, it's not so outlandish that I think it's a soap opera at this point. It was a lot of information thrown at you at first. I had no idea what was going on for maybe an episode and a half, to be honest with you. Or who these people were, because they were throwing so many characters. So I kind of agree with Ice on that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I skimmed back through the episodes. I read some synopsis of the episodes, which really helped me a lot and understand, like, all right, who are these people? But I did need to do that to kind of fully understand what was happening. But I'm interested. I like Mikazuki. I like Orga. At first, I was just like, all right, like, what's Orga's angle? But so far, he seems to be a pretty good dude. I think I told Brennan, so far, this is like if Thorkell and Askeladd like got along, you know what I mean? Like, because Askeladd was like a planner, and you know he's got his dude that can get to business. And if they were from Vinland Saga, like if they were on the same page, I feel like they would have a similar relationship to Orga and Mikazuki. I like Biscuit so far too. So there's I like the characters a little bit more than Ice, I think, at this point. Like I said, I'm liking it, not loving it. I'm going to give it a 6,300 at this point. So I'm going to go 1,000 higher than Ice.
Okay.
No, Ice went 53.
Yeah, he said 1,000
higher. I don't know why I thought 100. I'm sorry. My brain is still on Kentucky time. I'm sorry. The first thing I said when that first episode, I said the same thing I said about them just throwing some. Like, I was just like, slow down. Like, I'm not going to get this shit. But the soap opera thing, I don't even got where he even got that from. I don't even know. That didn't make any sense to me.
Maybe just the love triangle stuff. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, but they're not focusing really on that. Like they give you a little bit of that, I think, for like a side element. But it's been about that business pretty much since the beginning, pretty much.
I mean, every other episode has got like a fight.
Exactly, and yeah. So, I mean, I would say Mika Zuko, clearly my favorite character. He's my style of character. He's kind of like even kill, but he's a beast. He wants to get, he's about that action. And he's a stone cold killer. Was not expecting him to be this stone cold at all. Was not expecting him to just murder people and just be like, so what are we having for lunch? Like, what's the deal?
Cold.
Cold. So, actually love this dude. He is the most interesting character on the show, not even close. Orga's cool. I will say those – I like Biscuit, too. I can't say those are the only two words. I like Biscuit. Biscuit, I feel like he's going to be maybe a little bit of comic relief for a little
bit. What about the other guy that was buff that was just like, I'll follow whoever?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And him, too. Yeah. I forgot his name, but
I like him. Yeah, Akihiro.
Because remember, they said in there, too, they were like, those two are pretty much the best fighters. They're, like, unstoppable fighting either super close or inside or side by side. So
in the first episode, they both were in the mobile workers and taking out all the rest of them and together.
So him, he's dope, too. So once they probably give him some more backstory, I think I'll be fully in. So they got a few characters that I fool with. So for me, I'll give this an overall. I'll give it about. I actually had it around. I actually had it the same as Rob. I had it at 6,300.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Brandon. Another thing I want to just tag on quick before Brendan, you get started. This is kind of what I thought Evangelion was gonna be.
Right.
This
is much closer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. When I saw the trailer, I was just like, "Oh shit! It's gonna be about like kids getting out there, like doing some crazy shit in some robot suits."
Yeah.
It was something else. I mean, some crazy shit in robot suits happened, but there was a whole like existential journey on top of that. But, so.
And then before Brendan gives his two, just real quick, I gotta reiterate this. He's not Senji out here, bro. He ain't no bitch. This is who I wanted Senji to be right here. I wanted Senji to put that work in. He didn't have to murder somebody up close with a gun, but I wanted him to be like, yo, all right, let's get this suit on. Let's fuck people up. This is what it is, man. So Mika Zuko is that for me, and he's giving me – right now for a Gundam, I like this. I know 6,300 you might think it's kind of low, but I'm interested to see the next five. I'm in for the next five. Let's see.
Okay.
So go ahead, Brennan. Cool.
Obviously, I've already seen this. It's been a long time. I honestly don't remember all the things that happen next. But what I'll say is just from these five episodes, I got a lot of nostalgia, and it was a good nostalgia. Mm. Like, I was just like, oh, I started to remember some of the things that are going to happen, remembered some of the characters I haven't thought about in a long time. I remembered that all I'll say is this, is that I got asked a very interesting question that I think we could actually turn into an entire one-off episode. Is who is your favorite anime character ever? Not your favorite protagonist, antagonist, side character, whatever. Out of every, I'm not asking you.
Okay.
I got to ask that question, and I didn't even know what to do.
Yeah.
Because I had never been asked. I had never thought about it. But I will say that as far as I can remember right now and digging through all the anime I've seen, one of those characters that I will be on my top five list is in this show. I will say that. So all that said, good memories. I think 100% agree with Ice, Rob, and Keenan that they do throw a lot at you really quickly. But I think it's kind of necessary for what they end up doing and what they're even in the first five episodes. Like, a lot happened. This kind of reminds me of the pace of Demon Slayer. Y'all remember, like, that show was like breakneck from the beginning. It's just like, yo, we're only four episodes in, and my man, like two episodes in, he already lost his family, split a rock, you know, like talking to ghosts, defeated a boss that killed like 30 people. You know what I'm saying? So for me, this feels somewhat similar on that same pace, but has a bigger world to build. Mm. And so I definitely take that note, but I still stand by that. I of course, I picked a safe pick, but I didn't pick it because it was safe. I picked it because I wanted to share with my homies. And this is a show that whenever somebody's like, after they watch the obvious ones that everybody knows about, this is one of the shows I get to give to somebody like, you really like anime? Like, you really think you like this?
Yeah.
Here's something that got me in my feelings, but I loved it for it. And this is that show. I'm going to go with the conservative rating, obviously a little bit higher than you guys. I'm going to stay at 6,500 for these first few episodes because these first few episodes were building. I did feel very strongly about the way that they portrayed Mika as a character and how cold he was. Like, that hits hard.
Yeah.
How hard Orga stands for his people. You know, when he took that beating, you can't tell me you didn't feel that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't tell me you didn't feel like.
I wish they would have showed it.
They didn't need to, in my opinion. Yeah. Like, they didn't really need to, because just like he took that L hard for his team, and they're like, yo, anybody else? And he's like, I take all of it for my team. That's all I need to know about this guy.
Yeah, he's a boss.
He's a boss.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope that if I was ever in that position, I would do the same thing he did. I hope that I would be that guy. So, yeah, 6,500. I enjoy the show. And from what I recall, it only gets better.
If anyone turns up from here, that's good.
I remember this show turning up. That's all I'll say. Like, it turns up. But it also, like I said, it's emotional.
Okay.
So just be ready for that. That's my only – I don't want to give anything away. I hope that – I don't feel like that is giving anything away besides saying that I really enjoyed it, but I did get a little emotional in this show watching it.
Okay. So I would say to the squad, to the crowd, to y'all, to the people that we love so much, the audience, what do y'all think? What is y'all – out of the first five episodes, what do y'all rate this out of a 9,000?
Love to hear it. And I got one more announcement for everybody. First of all, I hope everybody's staying safe in these times. We didn't really address it besides our jokes in the beginning. But we hope you're staying safe during the times of Corona. It seems like it's unprecedented times. Actually, while we were filming this podcast today, Mayor Garcetti has shut down all business operations of L.A. County. So we're actually going to have to shut the podcast down because we're literally here in a place of my business. I am being ordered by the leader of this.
He said this is not a request. This is an order.
This is not a request. This is an order.
Yeah.
We're going to have to shut it down. So we're going to come back to you guys as soon as we can or figure out if we can do some kind of remote thing. I don't think we can. But we're going to see what we can do. We'll get back to this as soon as we can. But more importantly, you guys, please, please, please follow the instructions of your elected officials. They're doing what they're best to be able to save your lives and the people around you. So please stay home. Stay 6 feet away from everybody else. Take care of yourself.
Even though Brennan and I are not 6 feet away from
each other. We are not.
No.
But we're going to be after this. Immediately after this, we're going to separate. Rob already has self-quarantined, obviously.
Yep.
Be like me.
Right. This is real life, y'all. So
it
this is. This is real, real, real life. What's up, Cam? Yeah, I mean, I get that. Yeah, we technically could, but we'll see.
We'll see what happens.
But
I
like
guess,
I said, a lot to discuss, but I honestly wanted to have this recorded like while we were here as a piece of history, that while we were recording this podcast, for the first time in my memory, in our lifetime, in the lifetime even of my grandmother, our elected officials are ordering us to stay in our homes unless you're doing essential services. And that's some real stuff. Yeah, we just said that. Somebody just ran in here and said that too.
Tony V.
Tony is hilarious.
Tony V came here. Podcasting, though.
It's exempt. So we'll see. Conversations to have. Either way, y'all stay safe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I said, give us your score in the comment section. And since you guys, since we are kind of quarantining pretty much to the house, watch all the episodes on YouTube. Go watch, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Watch all the episodes on YouTube, because that's how we can interact with y'all on there. We can get y'all scores for every episode that we watch and talk back to you guys, see what y'all actually say about those episodes. Because listening is listening. We want y'all to listen on the podcast platforms also, but we can't interact with you guys on there. So you go to YouTube, we get to actually – I know for me, I go in the comment section as me, and I talk to you guys. I say stuff. I like things. I respond back and stuff like that. So please go in there and do that so we can respond to you guys, especially during these times right now.
Yep.
Get a little bit of interaction going on, man. So
we're going to be online. Don't worry.
Yeah, so Rob, go ahead and drop your stuff.
Yeah, I'm RV Danger on Instagram.
Ice is ice.mcgowan. Go ahead, Brennan.
At Mr. Producer Face on Instagram. Hey, remember, check out my highlight.
And I am Keenan Baker on every single thing. And thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of Animation, episodes 6 through 10.
Coming up next.
Peace out.
Peace.
Stay safe.
And so anime was solved forever.